Eric Francis Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Good afternoon. It's Monday. It's the Eric Francis Show. I'm Eric Francis. Coming off of what was one of the most incredible weekends in the history of the NFL. Not such an incredible weekend if you're a Calgary Flames fan. And also a memorable weekend if you're a Canadian tennis fan. Lots to talk about on all three fronts, and we'll get into all three of those things today. But, you know, the Flames lost on Saturday night, 5-3, to the Edmonton Oilers. Big topic for a lot of people today once they finish talking about those incredible NFL games. But we're going to have Mark Spector on from Sportsnet. He's going to come on halfway through the show today at 12:30 to talk about some of the takeaways from that game. The game that got away, just got off a Zoom call with Elias Lindholm, and he admitted, yes, I mean, that definitely is a game that they feel they got let get away. They're up 2-0 after one period. And they did the one thing you cannot do and should not do against the Edmonton Oilers. I don't care how bad the Oilers are playing or how bad their goaltending has been. Give them enough power plays, and you're going to let them back into any game you ever play against McDavid and Draisaitl and company. And that's exactly what the Calgary Flames did. They gifted them two goals, got them back into the game, tied 2-2. And from there, Leon Draisaitl and shockingly, Mikko Koskinen took over. No one saw that one coming, I can tell you that. The guy who's been probably the most maligned player in the NHL outside of maybe Evander Kane of late, and comes up as the star of the game. Interestingly, they didn't name him first star in the game. They named him third star. 44 saves, and he's not the first star. 4 points from Leon Draisaitl, including 2 in the third period. And the winner, I guess that's a first star. He was the second star. Evan Bouchard, who got the 2 power play goals for the Oilers, was the first star. Either way, a big loss for the Calgary Flames. And you wonder, and I'm going to expect this, you wonder if this is exactly what the Edmonton Oilers can pivot their entire season on. Did the Calgary Flames just breathe life into a season in Edmonton that looked like it was maybe DOA? Just an interesting way of looking at that loss on Saturday. The NFL game, all 4 of them go right down to the final seconds with a kicker. And in that final game last night, the one that everybody's talking about, Kansas City, Buffalo, a kick sends it into overtime, and then in overtime, I would submit to you that the NFL's ridiculous overtime rule robbed us all of continued drama. That was the best football game I've ever remember seeing. I think a lot of people are out there probably calling it the greatest game they ever saw. With 4 different scores in the final, minute 54 or whatever the case was. Kansas City taking 13 seconds to go down and tie it again. It's just amazing. As a writer, I can tell you I'm watching that game and I'm saying, thank God I am not covering this game. Yeah, it would be exciting to be there, no question. And you always love being involved in the big story as a journalist. But writing that thing, what a nightmare, because there were so many twists and turns. And if you're writing that thing on deadline, it is not that much fun. But there's lots of material, and I'd rather that than a 1-0 shutout over the Columbus Blue Jackets on deadline. But, we're going to get Dave Dickinson in here in just a couple minutes to talk about that game. I thought of Dickie right away yesterday. I know he never misses a single football game in the NFL and rarely misses the main college games as well. And I wanted him to compare the overtime rules in college, the NFL, and the CFL. And so we'll do that in just a couple of minutes here, break down how he saw that game, what he thinks of the overtime rules, because I think it's a fascinating discussion that I think ultimately is going to lead to a rule change in the NFL. I really do. I think that this spotlight on this game, a game that many will call one of the greatest of all times, was ended prematurely because of a rule. I don't buy the narrative that they won the coin toss and therefore they won the game. I mean, they had to march all the way down the field and get that overtime touchdown. But to not give Josh Allen a chance to respond, that to me is an unfair advantage, and that's exactly what you're trying to eliminate with overtime rules. You know, the NHL took strides in that when they changed the rules, I think it was 2017, but not enough. The CFL's got it, you know, way better in terms of their overtime rules and the way they've set it up. So we'll talk to Dave Dickinson in just a couple minutes. But before we do that, I just want to point out the tennis. You know, I'm not one of these guys who can stay up till 2-3 in the morning and watch these guys do what they're doing. But what Denis Shapovalov and Felix Auger-Aliassime are doing down under right now has got the attention of a lot of people, and rightly so. And it's great for Canadian tennis. These guys just having such a great season, and to be both in the quarterfinals. It's the first time two Canadians have ever done that on the men's side. And tonight it's Shapovalov versus Rafael Nadal. That one I may stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning watching. It may not last that long. He has not beaten Nadal in the past. Not many guys have in the world, but I got to believe that a lot of people in Canada are going to be a little bleary-eyed tomorrow watching however long that lasts, because that's a fascinating matchup to see how Shapovalov, can match up against, you know, one of the top three greatest players of all time. And then tomorrow night, Felix will go up against Daniil Medvedev, who's the second-ranked player. Aliassime's ninth. And having watched that first set last night against Cilic, I didn't think he was going to beat him. But good on Felix for storming back and winning the last three sets to win that match and earn a spot in the quarterfinals. Very exciting time for Canadian tennis. They just go so damn long in these games. It's hard to believe that people can step to the middle of the night, but people are doing it, and I'll probably try it tonight. All right, we have Dave Dickinson on the line, and I want to pick his brain on a lot of different things, because what happened yesterday is hard to kind of unpack, and I thought Dickie is probably one of the best guys to do it. So Dave's on the line. We'll go to him now. All right, Dave, I wanted to pick your brain on this weekend's drama in the NFL. I know you don't miss an NFL or a college football game very often. Just sum up what you saw this weekend, because I'm sure the NFL thinks it can't possibly get any better than this.
Yeah, lots of different styles. Some of them maybe a little bit more defensive. Some weather played a factor. Nice comeback with a lot of mistakes by the Bucs. Ultimately, the Rams won, and then they kind of got the crown jewel with the last game. I mean, that was an amazing game, a head scratcher, like you said. At the end, I think people will be very bitter that the Bills did what they did at the end of the game. And ultimately, though, as a fan, I didn't really have a lot. I don't bet. I don't have a lot of money in the game, and I really enjoyed all of them. But I was yelling at the TV at multiple times, so that means you're into the game.
There's no doubt it was great for the NFL, but I knew the fallout today was going to be, there's a buzz, certainly, that is great for the NFL, but there's also a fallout in that I think the overtime rule, and I have thought this for a while, is asinine in the NFL, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that as the preeminent expert in this city about that. Like, is it fair that the winner of the coin toss can win the game? I don't want to say that easily, because I don't think it's fair to say you win the coin toss and you win. You obviously got to go down and score a touchdown, but are you okay with the overtime rules the way they're set up in the NFL?
No, I don't like them. I don't like them, never have. I understand that sometimes you're going to get a tie game, and I think you want a winner. You don't want ties. I think they're trying, not have multiple overtimes. It's a lot different in the playoffs. I mean, you could have a different playoff situation for the playoffs, or an overtime situation for the playoffs than you do in the regular season. I mean, that's obviously the case in the NHL. So you could do something to fix it in the playoffs and maybe just live with it in the regular season. But, yeah, I think it's wrong. I've never liked it. I think college football went in the right direction, too, with not necessarily running up the scores and having, like, 7 touchdowns in overtime and just going straight to 2-point conversions. I mean, I still think we want a winner, but I do think you want to make it as fair as possible and give both sides a chance.
Okay, so for those people who don't watch a lot of college football, describe in very simply what the difference is between the college overtime format and the NFL's.
College is kind of similar to ours, except that after two, I believe, that just goes straight to two-point conversions. So very similar to ours. Each team gets a shot, and you get a match and go for two and that. But once you went through two overtimes in college, then you just go down and you just trade two-point conversions, do-or-die type of situation. And I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, it's kind of like a shootout. You know what I mean? But I would also say in college football, maybe if it was a national championship game, you should probably try something else as well. I don't know if you necessarily want it coming down to that in a national championship or a playoff type of atmosphere. I know in our league, I'd rather just play it out as well and make sure that there's a winner. But, you know, there's a lot of different things to say. There's player safety. There's flights. There's time requirements. There's also, you know, guys, in theory right now, it's the game has to be played within a certain time window during the regular season and all these other things. But once you get to the playoffs, I think you just play football and you probably put it at a time limit, and then after that, the next guy wins. But I think each team needs to at least touch the ball.
Yeah, amen. Because, you know, I don't think there's a person in the world who didn't want to see that game keep going if that's the way the play dictated it. And to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands just seems wrong. I think that they're going to change the rule because of the fallout from this. I thought that the minute that game ended, I thought they're going to finally snap to it, realize their format is dead wrong. But you tell me, of those, of the three, the CFL, college, and the NFL, what's the best overtime, you know, setup that there is?
I think college and CFL are just super similar. So I think I would rather have it that way. I mean, you remember our the goalposts are in different areas. So, you know, you could start at a different yard line, but it's still very similar as far as how far a kick. So it's not automatic. What you want, I think, is you want to start at the yard line, that if you do take a sack, the field goal's in doubt. I think that's what we try to do. I really like ours. I mean, it really is weird because if you remember back a few years, Patriots Chiefs, same thing happened. Brady got the ball and Mahomes never touched it. And the Patriots go to the Super Bowl. Didn't change then, Eric. So I'm not sure it's going to change now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's going to be a hell of a long debate all week long about it. And, it really angered me last night. Because when they – was it 2017, I believe, the NFL kind of modified it to a degree. And it's been bothering me for a long time since then. And and we saw exactly what happened yesterday. I mean, I guess there's a school of thought, Dave, and you'd probably agree, that there's a school of thought that says, hey, if you can get all the way down the field at a pressure pack moment like that, you deserve to win the game. But I don't see it that way.
I mean, that's just such an advantage. I mean, what you're trying to do is not create an unfair advantage. And, you know, let's just say in the past, I don't know, when you kick off or something like that and you pin them inside the 20, but that doesn't happen anymore because they just take it at 25. And then NFL punters are so good. So even if you get stopped, you're going to be able, the NFL punter is going to put that other team inside their own 20, 25-yard line easily as well. So it's just too big of an advantage. I think you got to be careful of giving one team such a big advantage by just tossing a coin. So, yeah, I'm with you on it.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking to Dave Dickinson, head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, former NFLer, longtime CFLer, Hall of Famer. And I really wanted to get his thoughts. I thought of you right away yesterday as someone who consumes more football than anyone I know. And so what are you looking for next weekend with these four teams remaining?
Obviously, I mean, it will be tough to come back with this type of product. I mean, I've never seen four games end on the last play. That's just,
you never will again.
You know what? Every week is different. And, you know, I was worried about Buffalo. I think they kind of played the perfect game, and I was worried that it would be a tough go. But, I do think they played a hell of a game. You know, I think after you get over the fact right now, in my opinion, Buffalo fans and football fans in general will analyze that 13 seconds. It also made me think, Eric, coaching matters. And, yeah, I'm a coach, so I'm going to want to say that. But there was some bad decision-making and some poor planning. And when NFL staffs have 22, 23, 25 coaches, and that's the best they could come up with, kicking it deep and then not playing more aggressively and just letting the Chiefs basically get 40-some yards. I just, as a player, I put myself as a player, I would have been pissed off. I would have been bitter with the staff. Yeah, we could have made more plays. We could have done certain things. But coaches sometimes, put you in a position to lose a game, and I really believe that's what happened. You don't need to cover the sideline. You don't need to cover the sidelines. Kansas City has 2 timeouts. You want to cover the player. You're not worried about keeping them in balance. So on my rant there, to me, for this weekend, I think, honestly, that you saw what decides football games. For the most part, it's still turnovers. Special teams in the NFL usually doesn't even matter, and yet San Fran wins a game on that. So, I like it. I like an interdivision game in the NFC. I think that's going to be good. I don't know. The Bengals did beat the Chiefs a couple weeks earlier, but odds are I'm not feeling that. But another high-powered offense is going up against each other, so I'll definitely be watching.
You know, it's fascinating what you say about the coaches, and you're rarely going to hear a coach say something like that. But that's quite a statement from you, like for, especially given that Buffalo does have the best defense in the NFL, and yet you felt like the coaching staff that put that whole defense together let them down.
No, it's not. It's not the game, because try to stop Mahomes and those weapons and do those things. You got to have a plan, and you're going to do the best you can. But you know, when you have a situation of 13 seconds, I just don't see why they kicked it deep. We always get questioned, by the way. I'm not in favor of taking a knee in the Grey Cup, okay? But you don't know if you're right or wrong, but when it doesn't work in your mind, it's wrong, and it is. And when you kick it deep out of the end zone and you know the quarterback you're going up against is Mahomes, you've probably given him one more play. And as you could see, that was the difference. And then you go into prevent and basically let him have 20 yards, a quick timeout, took 5 seconds, and then you play out with 2 high safeties protecting the sideline. It was a recipe for disaster. It's too easy. I mean, make them earn it. And I've certainly looked in the mirror at times too, and you're going to look at those situations and understand that wasn't the calls you wanted to make.
Interesting. Is Mahomes the class of the NFL?
Oh, there's lots of good ones. I mean, he is damn good, no doubt about it. But I think you saw some really good quarterback play. I think normally you pick the teams that are going to win with the best quarterbacks. The only one that I feel is maybe more a product of the system is Jimmy G. I think the 49ers have decided how they're going to win football games. Smash mouth, a lot of good run game scheme, a lot of good outside, inside type of options, moving the running back out of the receiver, bringing Debo in as the running back. I think Kyle Shanahan's probably doing the best job as far as doing the most with what he's got. But the other three, Burrow to me is awesome. And Stafford looked like the part. Now, we'll see if he continues it. I've always felt the Rams could implode and self-implode with the people they have on the field as well. It does seem to me sometimes they have bad body language. Looking at Ramsey and Odell played well, but you just never know. So we'll see who ends up taking those games.
You're listening to the Eric Francis Show here, and Dave Dickinson is going over the weekend that has everybody talking right now. It was such a spectacular weekend. So this is probably a bad time to ask you this question, coming off the weekend that the NFL just had. And I'll preface it by saying I get into discussions with friends all the time. I think that the CFL is a far superior entertainment product than the NFL, based entirely on the rules. I think that it's set up for a more exciting game. Now, it's a losing argument for most people because everyone's just so starry-eyed when they talk about the NFL. But I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think the more exciting product is? Take away the fact that the NFL's got superior athletes. I get that. And they've got all the bells and whistles that go with it to make it a phenomenal product to watch on TV. But the game itself, which is more exciting?
Well, I thought our playoffs was as exciting as we've ever had it as well. I mean, basically every single game was a good game. Now, I guess everyone has their choice on what I guess is considered a good game. To me, a good game, it has back and forth. I'm fine with turnovers. I'm fine with block kicks. I'm fine with punt returns. I'm fine with great defensive plays. But I want a back-and-forth game that comes down to the last 3 minutes. And the CFL has always had that because of our rules, and I do believe it's easier to get a back and forth or more drama in the last 2 to 3 minutes in the CFL because of our clock. But that didn't happen this weekend. And, you know, is a 13-10 game an exciting game? A lot of people probably would say no, a 19-16. But if your team's playing and you're rooting for them and you enjoy a game that goes back and forth that is always in doubt, I think those are games that we're all going to watch. So I really don't care. I like both games, but I do get upset when people say that CFL isn't a good product. I think, they have the top athletes and the top coaches and the top production. They do a lot of things well, but there's also, like you saw, room for other great football. And I really think our Grey Cup game was about as good as it comes. So, it's fun for me. I just like the game. So I really don't need to compare them, but I want people to understand the CFL obviously is a great game as well.
All right, Dave, thank you for doing this. I've got one more. I want to congratulate you, but also let you know that of all my friends, you're the first one to get a new hip, which really makes me feel old. And I'm sure it makes you feel old too, but congratulations. What, 2 weeks ago you got hip surgery, you got a new hip?
I did. I bet you somebody in your friends, maybe you don't have a lot of friends though. So maybe not.
Okay,
there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there. And I don't know what it was from, but it was been bothering me for years. And decided to get it done. And I feel like I made the right call. I'm already moving around in a lot less pain. And hopefully my golf game improves.
So how many strokes am I going to have to give you this summer, or should we start the negotiations a little later?
Still a lot. Yeah. First off, I'm never, unless we get COVID, I hardly ever play, but COVID protocols. But, no, you can give me as many as you want, you'll still beat me, but that's all right. It'll be fun.
All right, my man. I'm looking forward to getting out there with you. But thanks for doing this today. Good luck on your recovery with your new hip, and we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the football next weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling, Eric. Take care.
Cheers. Dave Dickinson, head coach, Calgary Stampeders, good friend, damn good golfer, walking around with a new hip, or limping around with a new hip. And, man, that hit me hard when he told me that. So great to get caught up with Dave and talk about the NFL. That comparison between the two leagues is a fascinating one. It'll never end. After the weekend that the NFL just had, I don't know how you could throw any sort of shade on the NFL product right now, except for that damn overtime rule. That is just so bad, and it ruined what was it? I don't say it ruined. That's unfair. I'll say it denied all of us a chance to continue watching what I kept saying all night to my wife. She doesn't really care, but I kept saying, that is probably the greatest football game I've ever watched. And it ended way earlier than it should have because of the stupidity of the NFL's overtime rule. Asinine. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Mark Spector after the break. You're listening to the Eric Brantzis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. It's the Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has $312 million economic impact annually and positively affects almost every Alberta community. Visit thehorses.com. We'll be back just after this. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Don't mess with Luch.
We've got a fight. Milan Lucic has dropped the gloves with Javadi Smith, and now Lucic wrestles him down.
The heavyweight champs play here. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary. Live from the iconic studio in downtown Calgary, we are Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Brought to you by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's iconic. Contact them at iconicec.ca. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary's sports station.
And we're back. The pressure is on after that last performance. Next up, we have a fan favorite opening up with a single axle into a quadruple axle.
Whoa, that was impressive. If I didn't know any better, I would think those tires are purely decorative. Somebody needs to get their brakes checked at McLeod Trail Midas.
You're right, Jim. This vehicle really knows how to handle a glide. A spin like that is unheard of in the game. Guess they haven't heard about McLeod Trail Midas' complimentary brake inspections or brakes starting at $159. Do your wallet a favor.
Exclusive offer available at McLeod Trail Midas only. Own the roads again and skip the dealer with McLeod Trail Midas. Brakes, tires, and maintenance.
This is a call out.
A shout out.
A chance to reach out.
To small businesses, charities, and organizations that support equity-deserving groups.
BIPOC. LGBTQIA2S+.
Women.
Persons with disabilities.
Together with Rogers Sports and Media, let's promote progress.
By promoting your brand.
On City TV.
Sportsnet.
Breakfast Television.
FX.
Omni. City Line.
This station.
And more.
Inclusion and diversity.
We're all in.
Apply now at allinforequity.ca.
Allinforequity.ca.
Welcome to Sports Interaction, Canada's sportsbook, dedicated to giving competitive odds on the teams and sports that matter to Canadians. Hockey, football, basketball, golf majors, whatever your sport, Sports Interaction has you covered. Get more ways to play on every sport online at Sports Interaction, including the best in live play. Canada plays at SIA. Get in the game at Sports Interaction, Canada's sportsbook. Brought to you by Mohawk Online in Canada. Players must be 19 or over. Play responsibly.
Marty Giles here for North Star Ford, your truth in advertising dealer. I'm buying a vehicle. I shopped around. It's between the Tesla X and the F-150 Lightning. The transition is coming, they say, and I want to be a part of it. My demo right now is an F-150 hybrid, and it has 900 kilometers of range. The Tesla is 35, and the Lightning is 19 grand more than my hybrid. These electric vehicles get 50% of the range of the hybrid, and that's when it's 20 above out. Ah, the good old days. Want to be part of the transition and still be able to send your kids to college? Ford's hybrid lineup gives you a chance to do both. North Star Ford, the way the experience should be.
Flames Talk is a jam-packed hour of Calgary Flames conversation to start your workday. Ryan Pinder will be joined by some of the most trusted Flames insiders for breaking news and the latest information on your team. Monday to Friday at 9 a.m., Pinder has you covered with Flames Talk. Brought to you by our friends at Wild Rose Brewery, proudly brewing their beer right here in Calgary. Visit the taproom and restaurant in the Curry Barracks or find your favorite Wild Rose beer at bars and liquor stores around Alberta. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's shop better to help us reach our goals so we can live healthier. Let's shop for style and comfort that stand the test of time. Let's shop smarter with daily offers and interest-free payments so we can spend wisely. Let's shop brands that are true to our values, like buying Canadian. Let's reconnect with what truly matters and celebrate life to the fullest. Let's shop better at tsc.ca.
Don't miss Southern Alberta's RV Show and Sale, brought to you by Four Seasons Sales, featuring all of North America's top brands. Get 3 years of free on-site emergency service available 7 days a week with your purchase of any new RV. Daily prize giveaways totaling over $500,000, plus a free-to-enter door prize of a new travel trailer. The Southern Alberta RV Show and Sale at the Medicine Hat Stampede and Exhibition Park, February 3rd to 13th. Free admission and parking. For full details, visit fourseasonsales.com.
Watch the future stars of the NHL today. Get your Calgary Hitmen tickets and prepare for upcoming drafts by scouting the top prospects of the WHL. Catch rising stars like Connor Bedard from Regina, Connor Geeky from Winnipeg, the Calgary Hitmen's Graydon Seatman, and many more. This is your chance to brag about watching the NHL's biggest stars back when they were in junior. For the full schedule and tickets, visit hitmenhockey.com/tickets.
Hi, our business is growing, and we need to take advantage of the new technologies out there.
Well, we only provide basic IT support.
Is your current IT service provider holding you back? Calypso IT will help move your business forward. Calypso delivers innovative solutions for cybersecurity, network design, cloud solutions, Office 365, and more. It's time to partner with an IT provider that can execute your strategies for you. Calypso, CALITSO.com.
Weekday mornings in the 6 o'clock hour, we dive into the Pinder Report. The guys give Ryan Pinder the floor to get us all caught up on the biggest news in sports from the day before.
Get the facts you want and the story behind the story you need. All inside the Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks.
Exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Your Pinder Report is hot, fresh, and ready to go. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Tonight, the Flames host Jordan Kyrou and the St. Louis Blues. Steinberg has your pregame starting at 6. Derek Wills and Peter.
This is the Eric Francis Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we got our audio problem fixed. No, we weren't recording the first segment from a potato or the trunk of my car, but thanks for the fan feedback line comments. And thanks to Dave Dickinson for joining us here on the Eric Francis Show. I'm Eric Francis. We do this every Monday from noon until 1 o'clock. And people still buzzing from that NFL weekend. You could sit there and spend a large amount of time, as I'm sure a lot of people are doing today, talking about any one of the four games. Like, pick your poison. The last one, of course, being the most incredible game. As I said earlier, I think it was probably the best football game I've ever watched in my life. And even if you only watched the last 2 minutes, you might say that. You might still say it was the best game you ever saw in your life. Two gunslingers, two great teams. Interesting to hear Dave Dickinson say that. He thought coaching was a little lax in that one, especially on that part of the Buffalo Bills down the stretch there. We're going to get to our next guest here. We're going to talk about the Battle of Alberta on Saturday up in Edmonton. It was good to get up there and see some colleagues. And of all the people in Edmonton who it's always good to get caught up with the most, it's Mark Spector, who I would deem, if not the best, then certainly one of the best columnists in our country. Polarizing at times, not universally loved. I know the feeling. but a colleague of mine who I have a great admiration and respect for. So always interesting to hear his thoughts on what happened at the game and what's ahead for the Oilers, because it's my belief that we may look back at that game last night or Saturday night and say that it was the Calgary Flames, of all teams in the league, who gave the Edmonton Oilers enough air to breathe life back into their season. But interested to get Speck's thoughts on that. Speck, are you there? Speck, you there, my friend?
Yep.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. You just finishing your Zoom calls with in Edmonton, or are you still in the press conference there?
No, actually, I'm missing the Zoom calls to do your show, Eric, so I'm pleased about that. whatever.
Okay.
I'll pick them up somewhere else.
There you go. Exactly. I guess when you look back at Saturday's game, I think you got to start with, the obvious debate. Why isn't Mikko Koskinen an all-star this year? The way we saw him play on Saturday, the guy looked infallible.
Yeah, he was very good. He was very, very good. 41 shots, tons of Flames chances. He made the big save that, you know, frankly, when you've watched the Edmonton Oilers play, Mikko Koskinen played the way all the other guys have been playing against Edmonton for the last 3 weeks. You know, they've sent guys out of this barn over the last 3 weeks, every one of them, everyone's saying, oh my God, what a game he played. You know, Bobrovsky had a 40 shot shutout and Matt Murray was incredible. And you know what? The Oilers finally got a goaltending performance. I would tell you they are due for one.
Yeah, there's little question about that. I mean, I don't think many people saw him being, you know, the star of Saturday's game. And I know there were three stars that, you know, Draisaitl and Bouchard had big nights as well. But for anyone to have predicted that Koskinen would probably be the focal point in a good way, shocked a lot of people. Let me ask you this, Speck. When I look at that game, I wonder if we look back, I don't know if you heard me say this in the intro, but did the Flames basically breathe life back into the Edmonton Oilers season? Could this be a jumping point for the Oilers to get back into probably some sort of normalcy and playing a lot better hockey than they have been?
Well, you know, when you lose a bunch and you win one, that's what you hope. Like, you hope you have a springboard here when you're Edmonton. You know, they you know, like Leon Draisaitl said after the game, like, we're not that bad a team. Right? We're not a team that should lose seven in a row. We're not a 200 hockey team. This isn't the, you know, I'm not saying the Oilers are cup contenders even, Eric, but I think we, you know, let's all look back to where we picked the Oilers when the season started, right? I would say to you that north of 90% of us pundits picked them either first or second in the Pacific, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Absolutely.
A playoff team. Most people call them a playoff team. So, hey, maybe they don't make the playoffs and whatever happens, happens. But this isn't a terrible, terrible team that's going to just lose and lose and lose and lose. You know, I think you should note that they played the Flames the other night without five regular starting players in their lineup that were all not playing. So that's a quarter of your team, right? So A, they got to get confident. B, they got to get better. And C, I think it's fair to say you need all your good players if you're going to be the team you want to be. And they're trickling back now. They're starting to get a couple guys back. But let's see. They go into Vancouver Tuesday. Let's see if they can keep this thing going.
You know, I think a lot of people thought that had they lost to the Flames, and it certainly looked like it was heading that way after the first period, had they lost to the Flames, that a lot of people thought that that was going to be the final straw. I mean, yeah, you'd lost seven in a row, and a lot of people thought the sky was falling, but you lose against your provincial rival at home on a Saturday night, and that's absolutely the final straw. And whatever card your general manager up there was going to play would have had to have been played after that. Do you think that that win changes the narrative somewhat in terms of what Ken Holland may do next?
It'll take the pressure off. And this is why, Eric, the next move wasn't ever going to be fire the coach. Okay. The coach hasn't had a goalie. He hasn't had his number one goalie pretty much all season. Like by the time Smith gets back after the All-Star break, we're basically going to be at the halfway point. He'll have played in six games, you know, two of which he got hurt in. So, it's hard to fire your coach. They're not going to fire a coach here that they've never given a proper goaltending to. And the other thing is, you can't bring in a new coach and say, okay, welcome to town, turn this thing around, and give them the same goaltending that costs the old coach the job. You know, you just have to supply either your old coach or your new coach with a goalie. So to your question, does it take a little pressure off Ken Holland going out and finding a goalie? Yeah, it does. You know, Skinner, the other guy that plays here, Stuart Skinner, he's back out of COVID and he can help a little bit here. Maybe Mikko Koskinen doesn't have to play every night. That will help. And, you know, he doesn't. So you won't see, had they lost to Calgary, is Ken Holland going out and making a bit of a lopsided trade for a Martin Jones or for a Braden Holtby? Maybe he is. And I would say to you that that win probably lets him off the hook on making that trade that, you know, would probably not be a great trade. Probably lets him off the hook for a while, Eric. I'd say so.
Yeah, okay. You're listening to the Eric Francis Show. We're talking to Mark Spector up in Edmonton. And, you know, when we look back at that seven-game losing string, yes, most of the criticism was levied at the goaltending. But, you know, I asked you during the game, and I'm not sure you have an answer, but I'll give you another chance here. What's wrong with McDavid? You know, he snapped a three-game pointless streak, which for mere mortals, it's not a big deal. But for him, that was the longest he'd ever gone. What has been wrong with him? Because he's played a role in this slide as well.
Yeah, they haven't scored a lot, and he's the guy that leads the wagon in that regard for sure. Right? He's cooled. Him and Draisaitl both cooled off quite a bit over the course of the last 15 games. And, McDavid went through a COVID. Well, what that means, has that weakened him? I don't know the answers to any of that stuff. But he's been playing and just not being that productive. The power play, those guys get a lot of power play points. The power play's taken a beating. Nugent Hopkins has been off it. Hyman's not playing. So there's a few ancillary things. But you know what? We've watched Connor McDavid here. He doesn't generally need help to score points and to create points, right? He does it himself. He always has. And at this point, I assume he always will. And for the last 15 games or so, that stopped. So for sure, you know, it's, I would say to you, this team is, you know, maybe too reliant on McDavid, you know, having otherworldly production. I mean, I'm not sure that you can ever have a McDavid on your team and not be reliant on it, but this team is. And when it stops, it's hard. You know, when it stops, when you're counting on it and it doesn't come, it's up to everybody else to do some scoring. And the last few games here, it started. They're getting goals and points from other guys now. And as such, they're starting to play a little bit better hockey.
And to your point, I turned to you in the press box on Saturday and said, thank God we got a program here to let me know who these bottom six forwards are. I mean, I think five of the six of them were call-ups and they're youngsters. And it's just that puts a whole lot of pressure on them to try and score goals when obviously that's not something they're generally accustomed to. Let me ask you this, Mark. The narrative here in Calgary following that game was that, you know, the Flames outplayed the Oilers significantly, I would submit. Shots were 47-31. And on five-on-five play, you know, we're the better team as well. the narrative here is that the Flames let them off the hook by allowing two power plays early in the second period that got the Oilers right back into the game and may have turned their season around. Is that the way you look at it too?
Well, I mean, those power plays open the door. I mean, that's fair. The Oilers scored, you know, let's just look at the game sheet. It's 2-0. The Oilers scored two power play goals. It's 2-2. So yeah, you know, that helped. But I mean, listen, we all look at this thing through the eyes of the team we're covering. You know, if Flames fans look at those penalties and say, oh, the stupid Flames, they shouldn't have taken those penalties. An Oilers fan may look at it and say, Edmonton started playing better in the second, and they kind of took the play. You know, early in the period, Edmonton came out. It was down 2-0. They came out hard. They had a pretty good opening 6 or 7 minutes, and they forced a couple penalties. How about that? You know, I mean, You're going to take penalties. I would say to you, Eric, the fact they took the penalties is not, to me, a major concern. I don't really even remember what they were. I don't recall them being like flagrantly stupid penalties that I can recall. But I would say to you that you got to kill one of those penalties, right? You got to kill a penalty. That, to me, is more important. We're all taking penalties, but you got to kill some. And to take two in a row and watch two pucks go in your net, yeah, that hurts. You know, not only did you take the penalty, you didn't kill the penalty. So, you know, it's tomato, tomato. In your market, you guys might want to heap some scorn on the Flames for that situation. And in my market, they're saying, good for Edmonton. They earned a couple of power plays and they buried their chances, right? It's one or the other. I think it depends on what part of Alberta you're living in right now.
Exactly. North or south of Red Deer. Absolutely. That's why I ask. You know, I mean,
yeah.
And to go back to those two penalties, and I can tell you that Calgarians, Flames fans can tell you exactly who the two, I don't want to say culprits are, because you're right. Hockey's a physical game. You're going to take penalties. But the first one was on Shillington, who had a rough night, and it was a bad penalty. It was a cross-checking penalty in a league where they've made it very well known. You cannot
cross-check. Yeah, that was a hefty cross-check. I remember that cross-check for sure.
That was egregious and a bad play by him that you know, some people are saying let them back into the game. Elias Lindholm's was a holding call on McDavid. Well, that's going to happen when you're trying
to cover. That's going to happen. Guys hold McDavid all night long, right? So sometimes it gets called.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get pissy for a moment. I know they addressed the Jim Matheson incident, and I'm not saying this to hang him out to dry. He's a big boy. He's a Hall of Famer. But it's been such a talking point, and they talked about it on Hockey Night in Canada. And to me, they missed the point of the whole exchange, but I wanted to get your opinion on it. His exchange with Draisaitl got a lot of attention. How did you see the whole thing, and what's your takeaway?
Well, it's funny, if you listen to Leon Draisaitl came out after the Flames game and sat at the podium, and was, first of all, it came out in the morning of the Flames game, and it was very eloquent and very good, and he gave some really nice quotes and some deep thoughts, and then he came out in the post game after they'd won the game. And one of the answers to his question, I don't forget the question, but one of the answers was, you know, we haven't been great lately, but we're not that bad. And it's like I was saying earlier, Leon Draisaitl says, I mean, we're not a team that should lose seven in a row. We're not a team that should be playing 200 hockey here. And well, the reason I bring that up is he could quite easily have just offered that answer to Jim Matheson 3 days before, right? Mm-hmm. Matty asked him, what's the one thing that's making your team lose the most? And it would have been very easy to say, Jim, there's not one thing. You know, it's this, it's that. We're not that bad. We're not playing as bad as the record looks. All the things he said on Saturday night, he could have said on Tuesday morning. And he chose not to. And he came to Matty with the, you rate whatever you want, long pause, because you know everything. And that was a crappy thing to say. And Jim Matheson returned with something that he would probably choose not to say again if given a do-over, right? Mm-hmm. But it's frankly nothing. It's a case of a bunch of frustrated hockey player and a frustrated scribe who's probably had a, you know, this isn't Jim Matheson talking, this is Mark Spector talking. But if I'm him, I'm thinking, son, I've covered guys whose hockey bag you couldn't even carry, and you're talking to me like that? Right? There's a little bit of me that's thinking that. So yeah. Listen, it was a lousy back and forth, and it happens. It used to happen in private. Now it happens in public, right? You know, Eric, yeah. You're old enough. All this stuff used to happen in private, and it happened all the time. Now, in the new, you know, rules of engagement, everything we do is 100% in the public, and that's just the way it is, and not much fun.
Yeah, and I think well said. It, you know, those are conversations you and I have had dozens and dozens of times as an aside in a locker room where you could just sort out your differences with the guy. Maybe he's pissed off about something. Clearly, in my opinion, you tell me. It seemed like he was just upset because he thought that Matheson was basically trying to get him to talk about the goaltender, because that was the obvious angle, I think, that Matheson was going at. Correct me if you think I'm wrong.
Well, it could be, but the point is there was a lot of exit ramps away from that, right? There's a lot of ways to say, you know, there's a lot of different things wrong here. So, listen, it happened. I hope I don't belie the fact I've had enough of the topic, but I think I've had enough of the topic.
Yeah,
it happened.
That's fair.
Ed, see you later.
Yeah. No, and I think and the only reason I ask, because I don't want to keep dragging it up or dragging Jim or Leon through this again, but, you know, you and I have been there and lived it. So when I see people debating this, you know, who don't understand what it's like to be close into that situation, understand that these are conversations. All this could have been avoided if we didn't have a pandemic. Quite frankly,
yeah.
We would just have been hashed out behind closed doors and no one would have been the wiser.
Oh, for sure.
The conversation. Listen, the people out there need to know, like, the things we used to learn and the stories we used to get and the angles we used to write, because we had a chance to sit and chat with a player without even recording it or without even writing it down. When I used to go to Calgary, I used to always visit Mika Kiprasov's stall because I always found it to be a humorous, fun guy to talk to. And I'll be honest with you, the minute you pulled out your tape recorder, Mika Kiprasov turned into stone, right? He was one of the worst quotes I've ever covered in my life and one of the best goalies, right? But just chatting with him and shooting the breeze was awesome. And, you know, you'd get some stuff here and there, and it would spice your copy up maybe that day, maybe that week, maybe that month. But you'd pick something up, and it would be useful. And extrapolate that over the course of a whole dressing room. When you got to go in the room and talk to guys and learn some things and talk about each other's families and the weather and the football game on Sunday, right? We'd come up with some juicy stuff, and that has completely been stripped from all of our arsenals now. Everything is on a podium. It's in public. It's on live on YouTube. And I'm telling you, the stories aren't as good. I'm writing them, and you're writing them, and I know the stories aren't as good as they used to be, and I hope we get back to the old way as fast as we can.
Absolutely. This pandemic's killing journalism even quicker than it was already dying, so no question about it. So anyway, that brings up an interesting, you mentioned Kiprasov, and, you know, he was such a tough nut to crack, because you're right, you'd come at him with a tape recorder and you knew you were going to get nothing. And the best you could ask for was that he would take the chew out of his mouth and answer a few questions. but that seemed like a lot to ask for. And it's funny how, you know, this is a lost art right now during the pandemic, because we can't talk to these guys one-on-one, but we work very hard. Like anybody in any business, it's all about building relationships. And I'll never forget, you're always trying to find some sort of common ground with these guys who in some cases are 20 and 30 years younger than you. I mean, there was a time when I was the same age as all these guys, and you remember that too, and it was a whole lot easier to find common ground with these guys. But I'll never forget, do you remember the name Kimbo Slice?
Yep, sure. He was a MMA guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a street fighter, which was kind of a thing on, you know, it went viral for a little while, and then they found him and discovered him in the MMA. And I believe it was the very first time that MMA was ever on mainstream network television. It was on NBC, I believe, in prime time, which was a big test for the sport and the market. And
yeah, I remember all this.
I asked Kiprasov about him. And I'm going to tell you, if I had got 3 minutes from Kiprasov on a normal day, that would be an eternity. I believe we talked for about 25 minutes because I hit a nerve. And he was so into MMA, he thought the Kimbo Slice thing was so fascinating. And we just talked like two human beings and built that relationship back up. And for the rest of that year and the year after that, he was great to talk to. But you have to find that sort of common ground, and you can't do it on Zoom. And it's funny that when I think of Mika Kiprasov, I always think of,
Kimbo Slice,
which is crazy, but it's just one of those funny stories. It's you're listening to the Eric Francis Show. We're talking to Mark Spector. Just a couple more minutes with him before he gets back and watches a Zoom call on a tape delay. Where do we go from here, Spec? For these two teams, do you envision a scenario where the two of them are battling for that second or third playoff spot in the division, or is that a bit less possible now in your eyes?
Well, I mean, I haven't even looked at the standings lately. The team I cover has played like three games in about over 2 weeks' time. I'm a little disappointed with the NHL standings right now. Certainly in the Pacific, they're quasi-meaningless because you see a team that's behind 10 points, but then you see they got six games in hand on you. So, you know, that's who the Oilers are. The Flames, I think the Flames have played a couple more than Edmonton, but my point would be this. There's a half a season to play. Edmonton has clearly given up any advantage they had. Calgary's ahead of them. And let's see what happens. But I think what we saw on Saturday night was, an Oilers team that can play with Calgary. Calgary was the better team on the night. But I recall a few games here in recent times where Edmonton had the puck all night and Markstrom was the reason that the game was close. So, what goes around comes around is what I'm saying. I see two completely different teams, but I don't see one team that's way better than the other team. Is that fair? I think Calgary goes about it different than Edmonton goes about it. But I don't think Calgary's I think Calgary to me looks like a team that's more built for the playoffs for sure. They have the goaltending. They can beat you 2-1. It looks to me more than the Oilers are ever going to beat you 2-1. But between now and the playoffs, you know what? Don't ask me for a prediction, man. I get them wrong all the time. I think we've got two fairly even teams. And if things play out just right, maybe we'll get real lucky and they'll finish second and third in the division and we'll get a playoff series. How about that?
Amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? There wouldn't have a person in Alberta who would complain about that. Yeah.
Right.
That would be so good. So good. Listen, Spec, I appreciate your time. I've kept you long enough. Thanks, my man. And we will see you down the road. I'm going to use my favorite term from Brad Treliving. Stay positive, test negative.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for the stuff. See you, Eric.
Okay. Cheers, Spec. That's Mark Spector, columnist with Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. One of the best in the business, no question about it. I love reading his stuff because he cuts through the crap and gives you the real deal. So appreciate Spec's time on that. The Flames play again tonight against the St. Louis Blues. I would imagine Jordan Binnington will be in between the pipes for the Blues, and Markstrom will start for the Calgary Flames. This is a fascinating one for me. And, I'm very interested to see where the Calgary Flames go from here, because when you look at it, they've lost 5 of 6 and 9 of their last 12. However, because they beat Florida last week, there's a somewhat better taste in people's mouths than there has been in Edmonton, certainly over the last little while. And where they go from here interests me, because they played a darn good game against the Oilers, but they also played three darn good games on the road when they were down in Florida and playing against Carolina. And in all those four cases, their good wasn't good enough. And so I'm fascinated to see what they, if good tonight can get them a win, or if good is still not good enough for the Calgary Flames. But it'll be here, of course, on Sportsnet 960. And I will talk to you guys again next week. The Eric Francis Show goes every Monday from noon till 1 o'clock. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry cares for their horses, employs Albertans, and contributes to the economy. Learn more at thehorses.com. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next week.